My name is Trevor Lynn, and I am 17 years old. Today is 11/25/24 of 2017. I am speaking with Marcy Lynn, who is my grandmother. We are recording this interview in Cold Spring, Minnesota. Tell me about your parents.
I had very loving parents. And it would be kind of hard to explain them because my dad being a farmer, he was very focused on his occupation. And my mother was very, whatever my dad did, my mother was very focused in on it. And she would be a part of it. When he needed help, she was there. She was a homemaker, and she was, I would say, a very wonderful mother. And and our home was always always well kept, and never a lot of new things in it. I can only remember of one Davenport in 20 years, and so whenever she had something, it was well taken care of. Anything that we got was long-lived. It stayed with us for a long time. They were not of wealth. We raised chickens, and the egg money from the chickens was our grocery money. There was, we did dairy, and when the cream was sold, it was also used for grocery money. And so there was never really anything extra on our menu. Most of it come from our garden. I can remember having Jell-O on holidays, and that was probably the only time we had special treats. Our Christmas presents were probably things that were won at a bingo or something, because my dad was very involved in making sure that there was a private school built in the town that we lived in. And it was done by doing bingo parties. And they would have dolls or stuffed animals for some of the prizes, and we would end up with some of those gift items for our Christmases. I was probably in the sixth grade before we had our first Christmas tree. And the things that we put on the tree came from an auction house. My dad had bid on a box of Christmas decorations, and he got it. So that's how we decorated our Christmas tree. I'm not sure where our tree came from, but it was it probably was more like a Charlie Brown one. But I still think I had a very wonderful life. We never wanted for more, but we didn't know that there was more out there. And so you're satisfied with what you have when you don't know what else is out there. And it was raised with eight other siblings, and I think we were each other's best friend. I went to a country school for school from the third through the eighth grade, and it had a lot of scary experiences because we would have to walk across the Chippewa River to go to school, and in the spring of the year, the road up to the river would wash out, and up to the bridge, I should say, would wash out, and we would have to walk across planks to get across that running water to get to the other side of the bridge. And I can remember being very frightened having to do that. And that probably went on for quite a while because spring, I think springs lasted longer. The river seemed to be higher then. But we had probably 16 kids in eight grades in the school that I went to. And in the 8 years or 7 years that I was in that school, we had two teachers. And each one of them taught all 8 grades. She was our umpire when we played games. She was a referee. She cleaned the school. She fired the furnace. She did everything. And it was a very wonderful time to be in school. It was when I graduated from the country school and went into town school that I learned that school was not fun, and there was too many kids in the class. I went from my sister and I in my class to 150 kids in my class when I went to town, and it was just too many people for that class. But there was no spending money at the time. Yeah, we babysat, and I earned $1 a week or $1 a day, babysitting 9 children, and I did that for 1 week. So I got $7. I felt I was very rich at that time. And when you babysat in the evening for somebody, it was $1 for the evening. If it was 6 hours, if it was 8 hours, it made no difference. You got $1. But then a shirt would be 99 cents, a dress shirt. And your shoes probably would be maybe $2. So the money went further. And I'm not sure what else. I think faith was very important. Neighbors were very important. And in our neighborhood, we were more like a family. We got together every couple of weeks. We had sandwiches and a treat. And it was just an evening of fun. In the summertime, we would go to lakes and have picnics and for us to be able to swim. And those are all really wonderful memories. So,
what was my father like when he was growing up?
Well, he was not a fast bloomer, let's put it that way. He left his siblings talk for him. He was not in a hurry to be trained. When it was time to learn bike, I think he was kind of forced into it and pushed down the street. When he got to school, he informed his first grade teacher that he was not going to the second grade because he had not learned everything he needed to know in order to be able to do that. And the teacher called me and said, "Have you been talking to Joe about holding him back?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Well, he's very insistent that he's not going ahead." And so she held him back. I'm not sure if why she did it. The conversation on the phone was not like that. He was very helpful. He did not make friends easy. We moved from the St. Paul area to Parker's Prairie when he was in the between his first and second grade. And he would stand high on the swing set and he'd watch everybody play. He did not get involved right away. He liked sports. He was kind of a loner in the neighborhood because he was the only boy. I think he enjoyed his horse. He enjoyed his cattle. We moved from St. Paul to the farm, and everybody got one calf that they could raise. At one point, he had more cattle in our herd than we did, and we decided that this was not working. I don't know if he thinks he did well when he was in sports, but I would hear people say, and my brother-in-laws would say, did you hear on the radio about this, about the team playing? And they would say, talk about Joe a lot. And I always thought, I wished I was a radio listener because I could hear what they had to say and then I would know what they were talking about. One of Joe's first football games when he was on varsity, we were getting ready to go home after the game, and I was telling Joe that I couldn't understand that the young fella that was pulling the face masks on somebody else when they were playing, especially when they knew that there was going to be a great punishment for that. And after a minute, he said, Mother, that was me that was pulling the face mask. And he always had a part-time job working at school or working for farmers or baling hay or milking cows. And I think he enjoyed school because he was involved with many things with pride. And when he went on to vocational school, the decision was made that he could take his horse with him or he could sell it. And so before he finished with his vocational school to become a power lineman, he decided that the horse would have to go to the horse auction. And he sold his horse with the saddles and bridles with all of its equipment. And I don't think that was a real happy day. I think that probably was sadder than he would want to admit. But I think he's been successful. And I've always felt very proud of him. And I think that he probably doesn't know his talents that he has. Because I think we all probably have much more talent and can do a whole lot more things than we ever think we can. So.
When was the first time that you and Grandpa met?
When I was in probably early high school, we got new neighbors, and they moved to our area from the St. Paul area, from St. Paul out to Benson. And they had friends that would like to come out deer hunting. And I had two older brothers and three sisters my age. And so the brothers would have guns, and we would go pheasant hunting. My sisters and I would be their hunting dogs because they did not have a hunting dog. And this new neighbors had friends that would come out, and they would hunt with us as well. And that's when I met your grandpa, when we were pheasant hunting. And we did that for many years. I would say probably 3 or 4 years. And then it was getting toward graduation time, and that was the first time that your grandfather probably acknowledged that I was in the field. Before that, it was just the dog. We always called ourselves the hunting dogs just because there would be somebody with a gun and one of my sisters, somebody else with a gun and one of my sisters. And so we could cover quite a large field, part of the field, pheasant hunting when we did that. And pheasant hunting was very prolific at that time. Lots of pheasants. It would not be unusual to probably shoot 30 pheasants in a day. And it was after I graduated from high school that I moved to the cities, to St. Paul and Minneapolis, for a job. And I was employed at the same place of business that he was, American Can Company. And so that's how our relationship continued.
Where did you grow up before, while you were in school?
I was born on a farm in southern Minnesota by Worthington. By the third grade, we moved up to Benson, and I lived in Benson until I graduated from high school. And then I moved to the metropolitan area, St. Paul, Minneapolis area. And I was there until Frank and I were married for 25 years. Then we moved out to Parker's Prairie and was there for 30 years.